Hi there and welcome along to another workout for you to row along to. Now the t-shirt may say faster than yesterday, but today we're going slower than yesterday, if that makes sense. Yesterday was quite a hard tempo row if you've been doing the Zero to Hero challenge, and today we're going to go back to that 30 minutes, 20 strokes a minute, low intensity row. It's the last time we're doing it in this series, and I figured we'll just go back to an old friend and row the 30 minutes to 20 strokes a minute. Okay, so let's crack this one out one more time before we then get into a really tough row, and then we're going to finish off at the end of this series with a nice low intensity one, but it's not going to be 30 minutes long. All right, there we go. So before we get into a 4 minute warm up, we have to set up our machines, and on an Averon that means setting up your resistance to wherever you would normally set it for a low intensity row. If you are using a Concept 2 in the Averon app, I want you to set your drag factor to where you would normally set it for the majority of your rowing. If you don't know about drag factor, then well, watch some videos, but you can set your lever to run about 5, because too low isn't a problem, too high becomes a problem, and 5 on a clean machine is round about 130 drag factor, and that's kind of where you want it to be. All right, next up, let's go to our foot stretcher height, and what you're looking for is to find a point where you're able to come in to the front of the machine with your shins in a vertical position comfortably. If you're set too high in the foot straps, plates, whatever you want to call them, then it's going to get a bit tough to get there. If you're set too low, it's going to be a bit easy to get there. You can go scooting past, your backside escapes from underneath you, and you lose power, it gets a bit uncomfortable. A good ballpark here is that the strap covers the bottom lace of your shoe, which is often the balls of your feet. But I say ballpark for a reason, because what to do is set it there first, and then use that guide about comfortable into the front with shins vertical as a way to make sure that you're all set up right, okay? Right, let's get into our 4 minute warm up. We're going to do this at 20 strokes a minute at a very light intensity for the first minute to open up our body, then increase that intensity a little bit, and then do some drills. Then we're done. Main session done. Woohoo! Okay, let's get going in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we're off. So, light intensity, please. Just press your feet into the foot plates and think about connecting your hands to the machine at the same time that you press your feet. And that is how you get the power into the machine. But just this little bit of attention as you start in this first minute will just help you to open up your hips, to get your muscles kind of, just wake them up really, in case they've been falling asleep for most of the day, or maybe you've just woken up, maybe it's lunchtime, maybe it's the evening, maybe you're cracking out a row before bed, who knows? It's still important to warm up. Right, 2 more strokes time, we're then going to increase our pace. And what you're looking for, so here we go, is to find the pace that we're going to be doing the main session today at. 5 out of 10 intensity, where your breathing rate starts to go up. I'm kind of out of breath because I can't shut up today. Hardly taking a breath. Your heart rate starts to increase, but it doesn't feel hard. It's like you're walking up a steep hill or 5, 10 flights of stairs where you're like, whoa, man, this is exercise. But it doesn't feel hard. You don't have to have a wee sit down and like a get someone to mop your brow with a cold rag. Okay, and in 2 more strokes, we'll take 1 foot out, put it on the ground, and continue rowing. Now, of course, you can skip these drills if you want. You can just continue to row at that light intensity, but what the next kind of set of 4 drills does is just works on opening up your hips, getting you used to the positions you need to be in for a good rowing stroke that helps you warm up. Last one here, let's swap feet. Bump, bump, nice sound effects there. Should be a Foley artist. Because having one leg strapped in, it's easier to roll into that shins vertical position with your arms straight and a forwards tilt over your hips, which is just so important when it comes to rowing. Let's put that foot back in, legs straight, and row with your back and arms. And this is where that hip rock forwards and backwards comes into play, where you take up the weight of the stroke with your back first, and then pull in your arms, and then you reverse it by letting your arms come out first, and then rock forwards again. Let's do one more here, and then roll into the front with straight arms, forwards tilt, and just use your legs this time. Really focus first on arms straight, no pull from the front. If you have to pull here in order to move at all, chances are your resistance or drag factor is too high. And then think about that forwards tilt. Really hold that forwards tilt as you do this. Let that power come up through your back. Right, I'm gonna take one more as we hit bang on 4 minutes. There we go. So very gentle warm up today, but then to be fair, today's rowing workout is gonna be gentle. So keep on moving up and down the rail, have a quick drink, and I'll describe one more time what it is we're doing today. Alrighty then, so today's workout is hopefully a familiar one to you. We're just going to row for 30 minutes non-stop at 20 strokes a minute at 5 out of 10 effort. Basically the second minute of that warm-up where you begin to get out of breath, your heart rate goes up, but it doesn't feel like it's hard work. Okay, we're just going to do this for 30 minutes. I'll explain why during the main row. And then we're all done, set up for the next session. So if you are ready, which I hope you are, let's get ready to go in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go. So 20 strokes a minute. Hopefully you've done this enough now that you can hit the rhythm on your own quite well. Remember, it's one stroke every 3 seconds. I was literally about to say 3 strokes every 1 second. Luckily I didn't. You can hear me like trip over my words there. One stroke every 3 seconds, which means for this stroke rate, 1 second drive, 2 seconds recovery. So you power into the drive and then you can split the recovery into two halves. Handle away and body rock being the first half, and then the knee bend being the second half. But the important thing is that even though I'm talking two halves of that recovery, that it's fluid, you flow. And that's what rowing's about, finding your flow. If you can hit a rhythm and let the power flow into the machine, you'll find that you're going to become much better on the rowing machine, to be fair. You're likely to be able to row for longer and be able to put in more power, which I'd hope would also mean that you would begin to, or continue to, let's say, really enjoy what you're doing. Because that's the thing, you really want to fall in love with rowing. I've said it before that you should really look forward to these sessions. Whether it's that you're just looking forward to having 45 minutes to yourself, to look after yourself, or whether you just love the action of rowing, or maybe you really like what it's doing to your body. Maybe you are using rowing alongside a calorie controlled diet and you're trying to lose weight, or you're trying to cut some fat down while at the same time trying to add muscle, and this is what's creating your calorie deficit. Because it works both ways. I mean, that's what I've been trying to do in the course of this series, is combine a calorie deficit that I create through these rowing workouts with resistance training and proper nutrition, which for me means a lot of protein. As you get older, you need more protein. Your body can't synthesize it. Synthesize that right? Can't use it as efficiently as it can when you're younger. So you need to give more in order to let it be inefficient at what it's doing. I'm not actually done. I should really go back to the first rows in this series, certainly the ones that I made right after Christmas and New Year, where I know that through illness and inactivity and quite a lot of good food over Christmas, I put on a fair amount of fat for me. I can tell just by looking at what it was like rowing that my stomach had grown a bit. And I don't think I've compared since, so I should really do that. I think it's helped. I'll go back into the edit suite and compare, and I'll be like, oh, not as much as I thought. But I much prefer that something right now as a comparison is the mirror test. Do I look better? Am I happier with what I see in the mirror? Based on my goals, then good. Whereas if you're looking at scales, it's really easy for them to demotivate you because maybe you're retaining fluid. And so you're weighing a little heavier than you should. And then you go to the toilet and suddenly all is good again. Weight by numbers can be useful, but can also be quite demotivating. But I am intending to return to proper indoor rowing racing this season again. So I need to make sure over the course of the spring, summer, and beginning of autumn that I can continue to increase power, but I need to get under 75 kilograms, which as being I'm 79 right now, it's gonna take just dedication, concentration. And that's what anything that you do involves: concentration, dedication. You don't really ever hear about the success story of someone who accidentally ran a sub 10 second 100 meters, or someone who accidentally becomes the richest man in the world, or woman. It all comes from persistence, hard work, dedication. but also putting in the work and knowing that it's not about running 100 meters over and over again and hoping that that's enough to improve. That it's the time spent in the weights room, stretching, doing slower runs to build the fitness to get you through that kind of a workout. Because you look at a 100 meter sprinter and oh good grief, they rival the fittest and strongest people on earth, which seems obvious, but you'd think for only running 100 meters, you wouldn't need to be built like a bodybuilder. Well, not bodybuilder actually, because they're usually huge. Don't think you'd be able to run like, I'm sure Schwarzenegger was all very fit at his best, but I doubt he could run a sub 10 hundred meters. Yeah, so it's all about the hard work behind the scenes. I mean, you can, however you want to describe it, whether it's the duck gliding across the surface, but its feet paddling like fury underneath, or the tip of the iceberg is all you see. You don't see everything underneath it. That's the hard work behind success stories. And that is why we're still doing a 30 minute, 20 strokes a minute row this late into the Zero to Hero series. And I mean, it could be longer, and spoiler alert, the last session of the series will be a little longer, but 30 minutes, 20 strokes a minute at low intensity is just a bread and butter row that is really good for you. And also, continuing the food side of that, it's sandwiched in between two tough rows. So the previous one in this series was 12 times 3 minutes, which if you did it, I'm hoping you'll agree, was a tough old row. And then the next one, spoiler alert, we're coming back to Tabata, 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 that max effort for 20 seconds, then 10 seconds rest, 8 times, 2 minutes rest, and then doing it all 3 times. And so there's no point having this row in between the two of them too intense or too long, because I don't want you to be continuing any exhaustion or fatigue from the last workout, and I certainly don't want you to be carrying forward fatigue into the next workout, where you need to be working at your body's maximum capacity and not the maximum capacity because you went too hard the day before. So if you should be capable of rowing those 20 seconds at like 1:45 pace, what you don't want is to go too fast and hard in a row like this, meaning that you're exhausted and can only do the Tabatas at 1:50 pace. So that's not going to do much for you. It's about building and increasing your VO2 max in that session, not about just being able to hold on because you've overdone it in the previous sessions. And so this workout should give you the right amount of intensity that your body is topped up. It also builds that core foundation fitness, improves the mitochondria in your cells, and gives you time and space to refine your technique. And it's those three things, the foundation of your rowing, that will allow you to do the spectacular stuff. It's like I was reading about the jazz saxophonist John Coltrane, who was an absolute master of his instrument. Incredible improvisation and just mind-blowing performer. People just amazed with what he was able to make that saxophone do. And so you think, did he just sit home and play the most complicated, hardest sessions possible in order to make his like live improv sessions easier? But it's the opposite. He would spend hours, like literally, he said that he'd lose track of the amount of time that he was practicing for, but it was always like scales, the real basics of how his craft was built. Apparently he'd sit there for like long periods of time just holding one note and attenuating the pitch and the volume just to discover how small variations would affect the sound. And his wife used to say that she'd find him asleep with the reed still in his mouth, because so dedicated he was to his instrument that he'd take himself to that point. And the point then wasn't so that he could stand on stage and play perfect scales or hold one note for an hour. It was so that the foundations, the basics of what he was doing, weren't something that he had to think about when they were called into action. There was never a question as to whether he was going to be able to do them. And that then freed up his creativity, his mind, for the rest of the stuff, for the flashy, complicated improv because the basics took care of themselves. And so that's why we row these low intensity, low stroke rate pieces, is to drill in that muscle memory that he was drilling in to the saxophone keys, so that when we ask our bodies to do something spectacular, the default muscle memory of how we row just takes care of itself. We know it's about pushing with the legs. We know about holding that forwards tilt at the front. We don't have to think about keeping arms straight. And so it means we can concentrate on how much power we're putting in. We can keep our minds positive and active as it starts to get tougher during the row. Because if you've given up half of your brain space to just the foundation basics of the rowing stroke, then you're losing some of your mental capacity to fight when it starts to get tough. It doesn't sound like much, but trust me, when you're in the closing 300 meters of a 1K row, or the last 800 meters of a 2K time trial, or the last 1500 of a 5K, and your body is screaming at you, or your body and mind are screaming at you to stop, all you have left at that point is your knowledge, brain space, concentration, confidence, that you know that if you are in charge and you focus, you will get to the end. Sorry, I seem to have gone off on one again. Had a brief technique run through there, but as being there's 8.5 minutes to go, and possibly your concentration has drifted maybe, or fatigue has maybe crept in and knocked the sharp edge off your amazing technique, let's do a run through just to make sure you tighten up again. So remember, you're only sliding forwards until shins are vertical. Try to get there. I mean, if you've got flexibility issues and you can't, that's fine. But also make sure it's not because your feet are too high in the foot plates, or because you have a poor posture. Because remember, you want to be up on your sit bones as you come forwards. Hips tilted towards the front of the machine, up and powerful, with your tailbone released from underneath you. Because if you have a slumped, rolled posture, I'm not going to do it, but almost did, but I don't want to break my own stroke. A slumped posture with your hips rolled backwards and your tailbone tucked underneath you, it changes the angles of your hips, knees, and ankles and can make it harder to get in to that shins vertical position. And while we're here, take a look at your knees. Now, there's a caveat here that, again, I know that there are people with hip flexibility issues, or maybe you have a stomach that you currently need to make room for as you come forwards, in which case, possibly, you have to put your knees outside your elbows as you come forwards. But for everybody else, I want your knees to be just inside your elbows, almost to the point that as you come forwards, your knees kiss the inside of your biceps. So if you think of the handle and your chest as being one side of a box, and your two arms as being the other two sides of the box. Did I say one side of a box before? That way you say something and the words echo and you think, did I say one? Chest, handle, are two sides of a box. Your arms are the other two sides of that box. You want your knees to be inside that box, unless you have flexibility issues. And the only other thing for that is that you don't lock your knees together. There's a reason your foot stretchers are set apart. That's basically the width that your knees should be apart as you push your feet into the foot plate. So if your knees are coming in together, you're losing power. So try to open them out a little bit. Then fingers should hook over the handle. We're not looking at a death grip here. A nice hook, which gives you open palms and means that air can circulate through your hands to reduce sweating and blisters. But fingers hooked also help with the power going into the handle, because when you're at the front, you want straight arms, nice and long and relaxed, that you then continue with those fingers that are hooked over the handle. And that way, the power as you push from your feet just goes in a straight line through your shoulders to your fingers, and you then brace against the handle rather than pulling on the handle at the front. But the other key here is remembering that forwards tilt with a good posture, and that lets the power travel through your back without your back fighting against it. So when you come forwards, brace your core, push your feet into the machine with fingers hooked over the handle and relax shoulders and hold that forwards tilt and straight arms for as long as possible to let the legs do their work and then add in the backswing and add in the pull at the very back. And then finish with the handle at sternum height, which is usually heart rate monitor height or bra strap. Elbows through your sides, wrists should be flat. The elbows through the sides helps that. And squeeze your shoulder blades together. Then let the handle release away from you quickly but smoothly to trigger that forwards rock again up and over your hips. Handle, rock. And once the handle is past your knees and you're in that forward rock, that's when you finally bend your knees to roll forwards to the front, ready to do it all over again. Or in our case, two more times. One more. There we go. 30 minutes done. So I'm gonna do some light rowing just to keep my body moving. You'll see that I am not paying attention at all for this first 30 seconds to my technique or form. I just want to just move, but effectively I've stopped in terms of my body recovery. No power is going in here. I'm gonna take one more here. And now I will get back in to all of those proper angles, straight arms, relaxed, fingers hooked over the handle, pushing the feet in, but at a much reduced power. I'm down at 17 strokes a minute, and really all I'm doing is pressing my feet into the foot plates in order to just connect to my arms and help my muscles just pump the blood around, help my heart clear the carbon dioxide out and make sure that I reduce any chances of muscle soreness the next day. Okay, I'm gonna take two more strokes here. And I'm all done. The key to that kind of light rowing at the end is that if you have a heart rate monitor on, you should see your heart rate dropping as you do it. Even if it holds the same number, the same pace, you're still going too hard. You want to just be rowing at a pace that you can see your heart rate coming down. But for those like that minute, was it a minute? Minute, I think. You're just still thinking technique so that your brain goes, all right, that's the last time I rowed, it was in this good technique rather than a sloppy kind of. Just always give your brain a chance to remember the good stuff, all right? It's like being in a relationship. Let your brain know the good stuff. Don't dwell on the bad stuff. I've turned into a motivational speaker. Right, just wiggling. If you wonder why I always sit like this at the back for the outros, it's basically because as much as I talk about sitting up on your sit bones during the row, in order to kind of reduce discomfort, by the time it comes to the outro, I'm kind of ready to sit back on my seat a little bit. If I sit too much back, I'll fall off, so that's why I sit like this. Just in case, I mean, nobody cares. So, that was it. That was the last time in the Zero to Hero series that we did 30 minutes at 20 strokes a minute at low intensity. Like I say, the essence of that row is going to return at the very end. We're going to do another low intensity row, but it's not going to be a 30 minute row, okay? So the next session in this series, if you're following the series, is going to be the Tabata. So look forward to doing a max effort one. If you want to look back at your pace and things that you did the last time round, so you can compare and possibly try and see about going faster, then please do. But to be honest, you can only go as fast as you can go. And in the Tabata, it's all about just hitting max. Doesn't matter what that max is, you just have to hit max, all right? So there we go, we're all done with that one. What should we call that? I'm trying to think for a hashtag. Last time 30? Yeah, why not? Last time 30. If you're gonna post a hash or post on your socials and you're gonna use a hashtag, then do last time 30 for that one, because it was the last time that we'll do that 30 minute row in the Zero to Hero series, okay? So thank you so much for joining me in this one. I look forward to seeing you either in the next one in this series or in any of the other videos that I have up here. Until then, please take care of yourselves. Row well, be well, bye-bye.